Father, it's our delight to be here. It's our delight that there is a gospel that made Berean Christian School possible. We are so grateful to you that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you created all things, and you created them very good. Thank you, Father, that in spite of the ruination that came from it, this is still a beautiful world, and you have still provided for us, showing you are such a gracious and awesome God, providing us everything that we need for life and godliness. Thank you so much for these two students who have completed the work you've given them to do for graduation from this school. Thank you for the life you've given to them. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved their lives. And thank you that Berean Christian School exists because that gospel is here. Thank you that you have determined to restore the world, to give everything through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the reconciliation which is to come, and thank you for this time for us to celebrate that together with you. We worship you tonight in this worship service in Christ's name and for his sake. We invite your presence here. We need you, and we want to celebrate together with you in his name. Amen. You can be seated just now. We'd like to introduce to you Josh Smith, Joshua Smith, as he comes and gives to us his farewell address. Josh?
Good evening. I want to thank you all for taking the time to be here tonight. I also want to thank the school for allowing me to speak tonight. It really does mean a lot to me. As my chapter at Berean comes to a close, I feel it is fitting to look back at my time here. My adventure began all the way back in Mrs. Steve's class. Her classroom is a fun one. There's always something going on. I still remember watching the Upper Learning Center play dodgeball. As a first grader, that was quite scary. However, my time there was cut short due to a move overseas, but I continued with the AC program. When I came back, I was ready for fifth grade. Fifth grade is in Mrs. White's class. That was a good class as well. Mrs. White always knew how to tell the most exciting stories. During CLT, she would always read from various missionary books or various stories, and I always remember those fondly. Soon, I moved to the Upper Learning Center with Mrs. Bergener. She knew how to keep learning interesting. There were many conversations about food chemistry or new advances in medicine, and that was always a lot of fun. Though the supervisors changed, there was one teacher that stayed constant. Mrs. Tallman was in both classes with Mrs. White and Mrs. Bergener, and she always knew how to keep a PE fun. And to be honest, I don't really know how I would have stayed in shape if it wasn't for her. She also really helped me get in shape for convention, which leads me to the next point. Speaking of convention, the best part about my time at Berean was convention. I have many fond memories of competing there and stuff that happened amongst the schools. For instance, there's one time when the whole school was looking for John. We were running around the hotel looking for John, only to find him at the back of the group wondering what we were looking for. That was a lot of fun. Some of you may know, I spent the last 2 years of high school as a full-time college student in the Running Start program at SWCC. My time there was very challenging, but well worth it. I met many new people and was exposed to many new ideas, and it definitely helped prepare me for the rest of my college career. I want to thank Mr. Root, who sadly could not be here tonight, for allowing me to enter the program and for getting the stuff set up over here to figure out how it's going to work out. I also want to thank Mrs. Anson, who continued with the program, allowed me to keep going. She even changed around some of the schedules to allow to work around my classes. However, most importantly, I want to thank my parents, who despite several setbacks and several situations where we thought I wasn't going to make it, supported me throughout the entire process. I definitely would not have graduated without them. Thank you very much. Amen. Lord willing, I plan on continuing my education at Southwestern Illinois University, Edwardsville, where I plan on entering their pharmacy program entering the pharmacy program. I have 2 years in the undergraduate study before I go on to get my doctorate in pharmacy. And after that, I don't really know what the Lord has planned for me. But we'll take that when it comes. To my fellow students, remember this. High school is a lot like toilet paper. You don't miss it until you don't have it. I know it can be rough, and you often at times don't know why you need to learn what you're learning, but stick with it. What you're learning now will be with you the rest of your life. And most importantly, it will form the base, a solid base upon which to build your further learning. Thank you.
Now we'd like to introduce to you Ms. Nicole Berry. Nicole?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Some of you traveled from Minnesota and Florida to attend my graduation. Some live close by. Wherever you came from, your presence means so much to me. God has blessed me with so many things, such as carrying me through trials and tribulations, facing depression and anxiety and self-torment. I went through some Christian counseling, but I can't exactly say it helped me to a great extent. However, it has assisted me in recovering from the negative thoughts. Soon after counseling, I went to an international student convention, and I can happily say it has opened my eyes to see beyond my negatives of life. This was at ISC of 2016. I was saved that year, and up to this day, I've trusted God more than I ever have, and I am much happier. Amen. Being able to trust God fully has proved helpful to my performance in school. My sophomore year was my most difficult, but I had many staff members and my father push me through it. As some of you may know, my mother lives in the beautiful city of Clearwater, Florida, and I will be visiting her this summer. But what happened recently blew my mind. Yesterday, my big brother, who is 21 years old, treated me and my sister to 54th Street to have a graduation dinner. However, what I was not aware of was that my brother had a secret, huge surprise awaiting me. He told me to wait inside at our booth while he went to get it out of his truck, so to speak. He left us waiting for about 5-10 minutes. Next thing I knew, I turned my head and there was my mom with my baby sister Adeline in her arms. And I was absolutely aghast. My brother had to tell little white lies to keep me from finding out that she was coming for my graduation. I wouldn't miss your graduation for anything, she said. Thank you for coming, Mom. I love you. I want to take this time to appreciate all the staff members that had a great impact on my life. These people are those whom I've had much association with. I really want to thank Mr. Bill Root, who was our principal for many years, although he is no longer with us as he now lives in Florida. While I was homeschooled from the school, I was 3 years behind in math. However, I had a desire to be enrolled in this school and actually attend here on a daily basis. In order for this to happen, I needed to do 20 pages a day in math. That included weekends and holidays. Mr. Root was so amazingly gracious to allow me to enroll here while I was then about 4 paces behind. My heart goes out to him and how much I appreciate him for having him. Next, I want to appreciate Mrs. Tallman for being like a soldier of a monitor that I've that I've had for more than most of my years in school. She pushed her students beyond what they limit themselves to. She knows each and every student has potential to do more than what they believe they're capable of. I was one of those students that was completely underestimated herself. I constantly put myself down and thought I couldn't do more than what I limited myself to. Mrs. Tallman showed me just how much I really am capable of, and even more. She has been a captain of my school years, and I appreciate her much more than she knows. I also want to give my attention to Mrs. Char White, who was patient and she put up with some disobedience from some of the students in our learning center. There were these expressions Mrs. White would give that would strike fear into the students. It even scared me at times. Those times when students would come to her at the end of the day with unsigned checkups, she would snap a look and time again has told us to get those signed before the end of the day. Anyway, that look struck fear into our souls. Wide-eyed and no smile. The whole point being is that she had more patience with the students than what some gave her credit for. It surprised me how long she was able to contain her what some called annoying feelings. But God proved to me over the years just how kind and tender-hearted she really is. It didn't take long to see her beautiful personality, and I knew since day one of my very first PSAT testing while I was still a homeschooler from here. Last year, one other staff member had a great positive impact on my life. She helped me to see the importance of health and nutrition and how damaging to the immune system just one energy drink can be. I used to drink these toxic drinks on a daily basis, and had severe nausea the morning after the evening I drank it. She was the most positivity-influencing supervisor I'd ever had. And ever since last year when she was our supervisor, I've been more positive than I ever have, and I want her to know just how much I appreciate that. Mrs. Becca Bergner has set my heart on positivity and spreading it, especially to my little sister. Out of all the teachers I've had, sadly she cannot be here tonight. Her husband is in the hospital. During only 1 year of my time in school, Mrs. Stephanie LeBire was the sweetest, most kind, and patient staff I have ever met. Not that none of you other staff members weren't kind or patient. But Mrs. LeBire's precious and beautiful personality stood out to me the most. Sometimes I feel like most of us, even myself, underappreciated her kindness and took it for granted. But I've always loved her for her gentle, loving, godly personality and spirit. I always thought she stood out to me as a unique person. The world needs more people like this lady, honestly. God bless her heart. Next, I want to show appreciation to Mrs. Anson, who has probably had the utmost significant amount of patience when it came to disobedient children. She coordinated student conventions, and for the past many years, she has been the coordinator and administrator of group Bible speaking, and she has done so well with our regional student convention and international student convention performance practices that we have placed first in many regionals and international conventions. Since Mr. Root resigned from being her principal, Mrs. Anson has worked hard being in control of the school herself. I have noticed a significant amount of work she puts into being our school's principal. This lady works extraordinarily hard for us, and words cannot begin to explain how much I appreciate her efforts. If you truly know Mrs. Anson, you can surely see Christ shining through her. Miss Jennifer Beck probably already knows how much I appreciate her, but I feel like I never tell her enough. She works on my favorite thing, and that would be art. Cheyenne Appel, who was a former student here a couple years ago, introduced the title Art Mom to her. And ever since then, the name stuck. She constantly told us that she was not our mom, but we knew this. However, I did everything to make her feel appreciated, so I kept calling her Art Mom. Although she is not here tonight, my heart goes out to her for all that she's done for us. And although the name Music Mom did not stick as I tried to make it popular with the Upper Learning Center students, Mrs. Lynn Austin, our music teacher, has taught us many things about salvation and how to be sure of our salvation. Her husband, Pastor Al, has made a huge impact on my life, and although I may not have made it clear to him, I love the messages he delivers to us every week. I learn more and more about God and salvation through his words, and that is a big, important piece of my life. Another administrator of student convention is Mrs. Sharon Miller. She coordinated all of the project due dates, although none of us except one student, Lexi, actually turned them in on time. I myself was late at least three times, but I bounced back and got everything finished at the last minute. Although none of my art projects or research projects placed in convention this year, I still appreciate Mrs. Miller for significantly pushing the students to persevere. Finally, I want to give my utmost significant thanks and appreciation to one amazing, godly woman who has helped me through the years during academic struggle. She has been the most patient, most diligent working, and my most appreciated staff member I could have ever hoped for. I would have never reached my goal and graduate today if it wasn't for her. God gave us both the strength to work and to work together to reach my goal. If it were not for this righteous woman, I would not be here today. I cannot emphasize my appreciation to her enough. I want all the students to express appreciation to her more often. Mrs. Sheila Underwood has taught me so much all my years of being here. And if it were not for her summer school tutoring with her, I would be so far behind that it would be impossible to graduate. But she helped me more than anyone knows, and it put me in tears because of how grateful I am for her. Thank you so much, Mrs. Underwood. And, ever since I was 3 years behind in my academics, my dad has made a significant impact on my life, and I really don't express enough appreciation to him, although I should. He has gotten me through all my years of struggle, including academically and mentally. He is one of the most godly men I know, and I probably would have never found Jesus if it wasn't for him. Also, if he hadn't put me through the tutoring with Mrs. Underwood, I would not be here today. My father is the one who put me on the path to success in the first place, and I could not appreciate him more than I already do. So thank you, Dad, for all your help, and I love you. Now that I am receiving my diploma, I'm happy to say that I'm actually taking a break for the entire summer. Once school starts back up again and I need to take my little sister to school daily, I will begin a part-time job. This is primarily to gain working experience before I head to college. The first college I will attend will be SWCC to attend graphic design classes. I am not sure yet what college I'll attend after SWCC, but I'm currently looking into that. Thank you so much, everybody, for your time and listening ears. I truly appreciate you, and have a blessed evening.
Thank you, graduates, for those heartfelt remarks. What a testimony to the families and to the staff who've really helped all of you. So, to all of you. My name is Tim Bergner. I'm the chairman of the board of the school. I've been there for a few years. And my journey at Berean starts off in 1980. And I was there predating the man I get to introduce today. Pastor Doug White came on as principal, Doug White. And what was that, 81 or 82? 81, yes. Yeah, fall of 81, I think. So I have a real privilege in introducing him. When he came on, I remember there were a lot of changes. And they were all for the positive. We started off over in the area. The entire school and church met in just the area that's now the classrooms and the library and the clothing exchange. From there, we grew out to some trailers that were along the side here. They were portable classroom units. And then eventually grown into the school building we have today. So quite a number of growth moments over the decades. I can remember many foundational messages that Pastor would bring to us as the chapel time. He brought us new songs. He brought us lessons from the Ozarks, where one time when we were talking about temptation and sin, and he gave us a really vivid example of the water that would run off of barns and collect in pools, and the animals would drink out of it. And he said no matter how hot the day was, he was never tempted to drink it. So we had some contrast in what temptation meant. Many fond years there. I even received some detentions or can slips from Pastor White. So it is my pleasure to be up here first and to say we're going to have a wonderful commencement address from Pastor White and all the things he's learned over the years and been able to bring to many years of students from my days up to the present. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
some very, very good years at Berean Christian School, and I've enjoyed every single one of them. It's been my delight to be both principal and pastor. I wanted to address Nicole, Joshua, school board members, BCS faculty, staff that are here, the church staff that's present here, parents and family and friends of Nicole and Joshua, friends who joined us this evening. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a deep honor for me to address you. I appreciate so much you giving me the opportunity to speak with you. It's a joy to be here to speak the same language together. Isn't it fun that we all speak the same language? Yes, I know that mine may be a bit more Arkansas than yours, but it's still the same language. Not only is it the same language, but we can pretty well speak from the same definitions. Many of you know that I enjoy trips to India. And as I enjoy those trips to India, you always have to do a lot of preparation and planning for them. And in some of that preparation and planning, it's always good to know, what does the airport mean by these things right here? What does the what is it that the missionary I'm traveling with means with I need to bring this document here or that document there? It's good to always have the same address, to know what the same articles are, to know where we're all going. Because when you get over there, you've got to be able to give an address you're going to. And if you don't know how to read what they're writing, you can write an address that looks pretty weird. And you get this look from the customs agent that goes, "Where are you going?" "Well, it's that address right there." "That's not even in India." "Huh? Well, okay, so I've written it a little bit wrong." Okay, so it's important to know that. There was a lady years ago who was planning a trip to India. She was from Britain. She planned a trip to India, and like the rest of us, she needed to know she had the right things. She knew, matter of fact, let me just read it to you so that you'll understand it. "In the days when you could not count on a public toilet facility," and may I say, even, this, it's not the same thing. "An English woman was planning a trip to India. She registered to stay in a small guest house owned by a local schoolmaster. She was concerned as to whether the guest house contained a WC, water closet. She meant by that a bathroom, a flushable toilet bathroom. She wrote to the schoolmaster inquiring of the facilities about the WC. The schoolmaster, not fluent in English, asked the local priest if he knew the meaning of WC. Together they pondered possible meanings of the letters and concluded that the lady wanted to know if there was a wayside chapel near the house. That the letters can mean a bathroom never entered their minds. So, the schoolmaster wrote, 'Dear madam, I take great pleasure in informing you that the WC is located 9 miles from the house. It is located in the middle of a grove of pine trees surrounded by lovely grounds. It is capable of holding 229 people and is open on Sundays and Thursdays. As there are many people expected in the summer months, I suggest you arrive early. There is, however, plenty of standing room. This is an unfortunate situation, especially if you are in the habit of going regularly. It may be of some interest to you that my daughter was married in the WC, since she met her husband there. It was a wonderful event. Oh, there were 10 people in every seat. It was wonderful to see the expressions on their faces. My wife sadly has been ill and unable to go recently. It has been almost a year since she went last, which pains her greatly. You'll be pleased to know that many people bring their lunch and make a day of it. Others prefer to wait till the last minute and arrive just in time. I would recommend that your ladyship plan to go on a Thursday, as there's organ accompaniment. The acoustics are excellent, and even the most delicate sounds can be heard everywhere. The newest addition is a bell, which rings every time a person enters. We are holding a bazaar to provide plush seats for all, since many feel it is long needed. I look forward to escorting you there myself and seating you a place where you can be seen by all. With deepest regards, the schoolmaster. The woman never visited India. All right. It is always wise to have the same definitions, isn't it? To always have the same identity so that you know what it is. And I asked this question, what's in a name? She used WC. What's in a name? WC meant something to her. It meant something to someone else. So let me go over with you what's in a name. Josh, Nicole, I want you to think with me just for a moment. God has a name. Now, all around these banners, we have his name listed there. Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. That's like Josh and Nicole. That's not God. That's a whole other word. That's Elohim. And that just means the broad general God. But that one, that's the way we say it in English. It's YHWH. And truthfully, we don't know exactly how it is sounded. But Jehovah will work fine for us. God had Adam name all the animals. It was important to God. He brought all the animals before Adam, and Adam named them every one. Wouldn't you like to have been there that first day? To watch Adam as he's naming animals. How do you know what a name is? How do you come up with a name like rhinoceros? What kind of a thing is it when you've never spoken with anybody but God? And you don't know what the language is, and you're creating a language that you're going to speak. Naming something calls on its present or hoped for characteristics. Let me just give you two examples. The name Adam. Adam means red. And it refers to the dirt color from which he was taken. Adam was a dark-skinned individual of the color of the dirt from which he was made. Then there's Noah. Noah's name means rest or comfort. When his dad named him, he was hoping that somehow Noah would be a messianic figure that would finally deliver them some rest and comfort from all the wickedness and violence that was going on those pre-flood days. Little did he know his son would. He did bring rest and comfort from that. And God did a reboot of creation at that point. Let's talk about your names just for a moment. Nicole. Nicole, your name is a Greek name. It comes from the Greek language. It's from two words in the Greek language. The first one is Niko, and it means to conquer. Matter of fact, you've probably seen the little swash on a tennis shoe someplace along the way, or a shirt someplace along the way, the little Nike swash. Well, that's where it comes from, Greek. It means to conquer, to vanquish something, or victory. Also added to it is the L-E. That's a shortened form of Laos, which is the Greek word for people. So in putting your name together, it means the people's victory. But your name is Nicole Marie. Marie is Hebrew. That name, it comes from the word Mara. And it means bitter or rebellion. Oh, I just lost her right there. Okay. Stay with me, Nicole. Don't go yet. You remember in the book of Ruth, Naomi, whose name means my pleasantness, my sweet. That was either the name that the parents gave to her, or perhaps it was a name that her husband Elimelech gave to her. My pleasantness. When they both went to Moab and they had two sons, while in Moab, dad died and both sons died. She decided to come back to Bethlehem where she came from. And when she came back from Bethlehem, they said, look, isn't this Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For God has dealt with me harshly. I went out full. And I've come back empty. Mara. But before you go any further, remember this. the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ was named Mary. Yeah, that means bitter. But I want you to consider this. That woman brought to us our Savior and our hope. So as I see this, I see how he forever changed her name for all of us. Now that name Mary means, and this is what your name means to us, the people's victory is the Savior of the world who came from and brought us out of our bitter struggle with the adversary. That's what your name means, Nicole Berry. You are Nicole Marie. The people's victory is the Savior that came out of the bitter and struggle against the adversary. Joshua, your name also comes from two Hebrew words. There is Yah, which is the first part of this, Yah or Yahu. It's the shortened form of Yahweh or Jehovah. And it also came from the word Shua, which means to save or to deliver or rescue. So your first name means Yahweh is salvation. But your middle name is Alan. And it's hard to determine whether that is Celtic, Breton, Irish, English, but it does have several meanings. It means noble, honorable, means rock, means deer, means fox. It means handsome. Since I'm making the speech, I choose noble. Okay? So your name means to us, the Lord has saved us for nobility and honor. We're destined to lead, young man. And so are you. You're destined to lead. So what I'd like to do, as you walk through the rest of your life, I want you to remember your name. N-A-M-E. And here's what I'm going to do. The N. The N is for the word never. Only I call it neverness. It's my speech, and I can create anything I want to with the English language. Amen? It's just part of it. Right, supervisors? Right, monitors? You can create your own English words. What a wonderful language. So I call it neverness. And here's what I mean by it. There may be many things in your life that never mean something for, but here's what I want you to do. Never forget who you are. Never forget who you are. You are a child of God. Don't let anybody identify you by your occupation. That's a role. And that role may change many times. I'm going to say that you're going to be a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a nurse, a doctor, a pharmacist, graphic artist. Those are things you're going to do. They're not who you are. You see, on the day you were born as a child of God, you'll never, ever be anything else. You'll always be a child of God. You won't always be husband, wife, mom, father. You won't always be those things. Those will be roles that you'll be in. But you'll always be. In God's mind, in God's eye, the eternal God who loved you from before the foundation of the world, you'll always be his child. No matter how far you go. Never. Never give up. Anything that is worthwhile, never give up on it. Know this, there is no success without failure. And failure is just a part of life. The only way you'll ever fail is if you give up. Failure is just a part of your education. And the longer you can understand that, and the quicker you can grasp a hold of that and know, it doesn't matter if I fail, it's not final, it's not fatal, I can get up and do this again. And you'll always be a success if you get back up and go again. So in your neverness, never give up. A. I call this one awareness. Be aware of the truth. There's lots of information in this world. You guys have seen it already. There's all kinds of YouTube things. There's all kinds of things on the internet. There's all kinds of information in the world. I want you to always be aware of the truth. God's word is the truth. It will always be the truth. It won't change. I know back when I was graduating from College of the Ozarks, And my biology professor was there. She said, "Douglas, where are you going to school?" I said, "You know, frankly, I've had all the school I want to have." She said, "No, no, 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 no. You cannot. You must go to school. Where you want to go to graduate school?" I said, "I don't. I want to take a summer or two off." She said, "If you take a summer or two off, you'll be too far behind when you enroll again." I said, "What?" She said, "At the way in which knowledge of science is growing right now, everything's changing so rapidly, you'll be too far behind. You must go back to school now." She was right. Our world has changed dramatically. And things that we thought were true in 1971 weren't true by 1975. And by now, they're really not true. The advertising campaigns that went on about what you can eat and what you can't eat, now we know were not true. It helped some industry make some more money, but they were not true. Always be aware of the truth. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Search enough that you'll know what that truth is. Most of the time, the first thing you hear is not the thing you want to follow. Hear it and then verify it. Always be aware. Be aware of your surroundings. Get into the natural world and regather your bearings on your part of creation. You were created here. And you were created in the wilderness and in the garden. Man was created in the wilderness. It says the woman was created in the garden, and the two of them left later for the wilderness. The wilderness is a part of who we are. That's a part of our creation. Take walks and observe. Use all of your senses to be present wherever you are. Look for sights, sounds, smells, and the feel of an area. Touch it. See if you know what it is. Look for the landscape. Look at the people that are in it, even the direction you are facing. In France during the Middle Ages, when there was a renewed interest in the Holy Land, people would go on pilgrimages. They would have to walk, so it would take a long time. You go from France to the Holy Land, it takes you a while to walk there. But there were also many holy sites along the way they'd stop to visit. When the farmers in France would see groups of people walking, they would ask them, "Where are you going?" And they would reply, "La Santerre." That's French for the Holy Land. The phrase began to be applied to any long walk that involves stopping, talking, lingering, looking, observing, and finally it came to be a word that was used for anybody that's loitering, just not doing anything. In English, this phrase became one English word, saunter. John Muir, the famous American naturalist, was asked one day what he thought of hiking in the mountains. Albert Palmer writes of this incident when he said, "One day, as I was resting in the shade, Mr. Muir overtook me on the trail and began to chat in that friendly way in which he delights to talk with everyone he meets. I said to him, 'Mr. Muir, someone told me you did not approve of the word hike. Is that so?' His blue eyes flashed, and with his Scotch accent, he replied, 'I don't like either the word or the thing. People ought to saunter in the mountains, not hike.'" So I'm going to encourage you, refresh yourself and saunter in natural settings for which you were first created. You're going into a world that is a high-stress world. It's full of all kinds of stressful things. The best thing you can do is take a good, nice walk, sauntering as you look. Awareness. Enjoy what you're doing at the time and give it your full attention. Forget the multitasking. We're learning more and more now that multitasking we don't actually do. What we're doing is going back and forth from one attention to another attention, and it's taking us seconds to get our attention back to the first thing again. We're going to make more mistakes through multitasking. Forget it. Do one thing and do it well. Enjoy the people you are with and give them your undivided attention. Put your phone on silence and out of sight to all of you. Look them in the face and listen. Sharon and I do get the occasional time to go out to eat, and we'll find many times that when a family sits down to eat, there are four family members sitting there are four phones that come out. And as those four phones come out, the texting's going on right and left, the pictures are going on right and left, and there's not one word of conversation going on. Don't put your phone on the table. Hide it. And enjoy the people that you're with. Be aware of them. Awareness. Let me say further about awareness of enjoying what you're doing. Be ready to understand before you seek to be understood. Listen that well. Abide in Christ. Be conscious and intentional that our fruitful lives are fully dependent upon Christ. Nothing of any eternal value can be done apart from Him. So never let that awareness leave you. Always be aware all the time that I must abide in Christ or I can't do anything of any eternal value at all. Well, let's go to letter M. Letter M is meekness and humility. So you want to have neverness and you want to have awareness. Now you want to have meekness and humility. Probably the greatest asset to your walk in life is humility and meekness. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think is a rich jewel in the crown of life. Do not compare yourself to any other pilgrim. The other pilgrims are all having their own struggle. They're all doing their own attempt to do what God wanted them to do. Always compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and aspire to be like Him. Through humility comes the fear of the Lord. Through the fear of the Lord comes wisdom. With wisdom, get understanding, and you'll have a fruitful and productive life as you were designed to do. Through humility comes God's grace. Through God's grace comes the power of a godly life. Meekness is that power under power of God under control, used for only a godly purpose. And lastly, the letter E. Pursue excellence, not perfection. Do not enslave yourself to perfection. Perfection is not possible this side of glory, but excellence is. If you pursue perfection, you find yourself fall short of it. You'll soon let the fear of not doing things perfectly bluff you into doing nothing at all. If you can't do it perfectly, you'll say, then I'd rather just not do it. And you'll keep yourself from some of the greatest blessings you could have done, some of the greatest gifts you could have given to other people, because you went ahead and pursued excellence. All the riches of God and the wealth of heaven is at your disposal for the simple investment of faith. Be ready to write a check on the bank of heaven for every endeavor you aspire to undertake, and aspire big. Sis, if you're going to be a graphic artist, then aspire big. Be the best one there ever was. Don't compare yourself to other people. Be the best one you can be. Be the very best. Going to be a pharmacist? Who knows? You may find a whole new drug or that helps people out. Whatever you do, aspire big. Do the best you can do. Okay. Undertake to do big things in the name of and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, but do them with every ounce of discipline, will, effort you can, making full and humble use of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll find excellence at the end of your journey. What you're waiting to hear from God is this: well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little. I'll make you faithful in much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You don't have to worry about what anybody else has been given. You need to be concerned about what you've been given and make use of everything you can. Excellence is doing the best you can do with what you are given. Squeeze every ounce of what you have been given. He may give you more. Then you can squeeze all that one too. It's been our joy as a school administration and as teachers and staff to watch you succeed. To watch you overcome some tough things. You both have. You come through difficult situations. And God has brought you through them all. Remember your name. Neverness, awareness, meekness, and excellence. Pursue them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much. What an awesome God you are. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that's ours. And thank you for these two great students. Thank you for what you're going to do with them in the rest of their life. So we ask, Father, because you've made them children of God, make them fruitful children of God, pleasing in your sight. And to this end, we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, now with the presentation of diplomas, we're going to ask Mrs. Anson if you'd come forward, Mr. Bergen, or if you'd come as well, sir.
On behalf of the school board of Berean Christian School, we would like to now present diplomas to our graduates. Graduates, if you would please rise. Graduating with a college preparatory diploma, Nicole Marie Berry. And graduating with a college preparatory diploma is Joshua Allen Smith. I would now like to present to you the graduating class of 2018, Nicole Berry and Joshua Smith.
Pronounce the benediction. That's a word that means good word. Bene is the word, you'll find it in benefit. It means good. Diction, you obviously see that in dictionary. And diction, it means good word. So let's pass a good word. A blessing onto these, a blessing onto you. Let's stand together, please. All right. Father, what a joy it is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you for having blessed us in this way, for we truly are a blessed people. And we glorify you tonight and praise you tonight that you have given us minds, you've given us information, you have given us souls and spirits to respond to you, you have given us the gospel, you have given us your word, your promises, your spirit, you have given us this world to live in and this world to represent you in. You indeed are a holy and great God. You are good in everything that you do. You are just. You are holy. You're righteous. You're full of love. You're full of grace and mercy, loving kindness, steadfastness. You're always watching out for us. We give you praise as our provider. And now, Father, we ask your blessing to rest upon these people, upon our graduates this day, upon Berean Christian School, the staff that has been working with them, the family, the parents, the friends, and all who've come. Bless them with your presence, with your joy, and with your gladness. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.